I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, often slip. I'm just common flesh and bone. But I'll prove someday just why I say I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, and yet he loved me. His glory makes the heaven shine. And so unworthy of such mercy, for when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face, the thorns were on his head. The blood was on his scarlet robe, stained a crimson red. Though his eyes were on the crowd that day, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. He knew me, and yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. And so unworthy of such mercy, for when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind.
Amen. Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Green. Words can't express what a joy it is to see kiddos in our church grow up, do right, and find them, see them find each other, fall in love, get married, and serve the Lord in the church. Wednesday night, Bruce came by and hugged me and said, "Preacher, you'll always be my preacher." And I said, "Bruce, you'll always be Brucey Woosie to me." That's what I used to call him when he was a little kid, Brucey Woosie. And open your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Once you find your place in Ephesians chapter 5, stand with me and we'll read the first 21 verses of Ephesians chapter 5. And our message will come from those verses and a few others. The Bible says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking and jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or an unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth not make manifest, is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I want you to go back and look at that very familiar passage in verse number 18. Where Paul is encouraging the Ephesian Christians and us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I want to speak tonight on the subject, requirements and results of a Spirit-filled life. The requirements and results of a Spirit-filled life. Father in heaven, I need your help tonight as I bring this message. Oh, how I want to walk and live in the Holy Spirit of God. I want to know what it is to have your power upon my life and your guidance in my life. And I want it today and tomorrow and the rest of the tomorrows of my life. And oh God, how I want the people of Trinity Baptist Church to know what it is to walk in your Spirit. To live a Spirit-filled life. For there is the life that is fruitful. The life that is effective. The life that has positive influence for Christ in a negative world. Now Lord, fill me tonight and help me as I preach. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name for what you shall do in our hearts. And for every decision that shall be made. For it's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said, And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I cannot stress enough the importance for every Christian to live a Spirit-filled life. In light of the need for spiritual insight and leadership, over these next weeks, it is essential that the members of Trinity Baptist Church learn quickly to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. There are three reasons why every one of God's children ought to live and walk in the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Number one, because of obedience to God's command. In verse number 18, we are commanded to be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And the interpretation of that verse is not be ye filled one time, but it literally means be ye being filled or continually being filled. God does not want us to live spiritually hot one day and cold the next. He does not intend for us to live spiritually one day and carnally the next. He wants us as His children in a world that's going to hell and knows nothing about Him to walk in the Spirit so we can be His light and His testimony. If we're going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, or if our life is going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, it will be the Holy Spirit Himself that produces that fruit in us. And He does not produce His fruit in a life that's not yielded to Him. We do not have the fruit of the Spirit so we can live like we want to or appear to be a super Christian. He has a world that's going to hell and people who need someone to love them for Christ's sake. And the gifts of the Spirit in the life of the Christian, as well as the fruit of the Spirit, are tools that God gives us when we walk in the Spirit to be effective in ministering one to another and carrying the gospel to an unknown world. Let me say also, this command is not singular, it's plural. He's not singling out a single person to be filled with the Spirit. He's letting us know it is His will for every Christian and all Christians to walk and live a Spirit-filled life. Now listen to me carefully. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are not getting more of the Holy Spirit. When we got saved, according to the Bible, we are indwelt and sealed with the Holy Spirit. It happens one time, and it happens when we get saved, and the Holy Spirit will live in us and be with us until we're raptured out at Jesus' coming or until death takes place. Now, we can't get more of Him because when He indwelt us, a leg and an arm of the Holy Spirit didn't indwell us. All of Him moved in. Our body is the temple of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. All of Him abides in me and you. Now, it's sad to say that some Christians give Him a terrible living place. It's not clean. It's not what it ought to be. It's not fit. Well, dear goodness, if we had someone special coming to our house, we'd clean it spotless. And there's no one special going to live in this body more than the third person of God's Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to get it in shape for His coming. We are commanded. Every one of us, every Christian, is indwelled with the Spirit. We're sealed with the Spirit. That seal is God's mark of ownership on us, telling the world and the devil and everybody else that we belong to God. It's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession at Jesus' coming. That means when the body is called out with soul and spirit to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall forever be with the Lord. So it's the command is plural. It's for every Christian. It's also in the present tense, meaning that we're to be filled right now. It's not something that might happen sometime in the distance. God wants us to walk in the Spirit today. And in tomorrow. And the next to tomorrow. And on and on and on. As I said, the indwelling and sealing of the Spirit takes place in our life one time at the time we're saved. I believe we're filled with the Holy Spirit then also. But the Bible teaches us in Acts 2 they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. So the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time occurrence. It has to do with service and ministry. And the more we serve, the more we need to go back to be filled. I do not start my day without asking God to fill me with His Holy Spirit and yielding myself to Him for His will, His control, and for His purpose. We are commanded to do so. And it also, it's present tense. He intends for us to be filled now and keep on being filled with the Spirit. Then may I say, the verb also is passive, which means we do not fill ourselves. We must allow and rely on the Holy Spirit of God to fill us or empower us, take control of us. That's what it means. It's not getting more of Him. It's Him getting control of you. So we need that filling because we're commanded. If we love Him, keep His commandments, He said. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit because of our obligations. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not a toy to be played with, but filling by being filled with the Spirit provides the tools necessary for our service for God and our Christian walk and our Christian life. The filling of the Holy Spirit provides the necessary tools for our obligation in worship life. We're to worship in truth and in spirit. The teaching of a Sunday school class is not something I can do relying on my personality, my talents, and my education. I need God to empower me. To stand up and preach the Word of God, I should not be and could not be adequate in doing that just because I have a diploma from a Bible college. I need His power and His filling to do that. In order to be a soul winner, that is a spiritual work. And if we're going to be effective, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's where He can use us to produce His fruit. You see, it would be a great day in our Christian life if we'd learn God is more concerned about winning souls than any of us or all of us put together. And if we walked in His Spirit, don't you think He can lead us to those people He's already been working on? Those people that's already heard the gospel preached, those people whose heart's already been under conviction, those people who've already had an invitation presented to them, those people that said, I need to think about it a little while. I can't tell you how many times that just the leadership of God said, go visit so-and-so. You go visit so-and-so, and man, there they are with an open heart and open arms ready to receive you and Christ. I remember a number of years ago, a man in the church asked me to go visit his mother and daddy. He said, now I want you to know, they're mean. They are going to be put up a fight and an opposition to a preacher coming to their house. I said, I'll go visit them. Just pray for me and pray that God will open their heart and door. Mrs. Smith and I went to visit them and we prayed and asked God to open their hearts. We knocked on that door, told them who we were. They invited us in. We sat there and drank coffee and talked about the Lord, and before you know it, both were weeping and on their knees and asking Jesus Christ to come into their heart to be their Savior. Now that wasn't the preacher doing that. That was God doing that. And the Holy Spirit of God can lead us in that. And it's wonderful when He's working on the preacher and working on the person that you're trying to get saved at the same time. It sure does make for wonderful results. Our obligation in our worship life, we need His power. Look at verse 19 and 20. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Our worship life. We have a responsibility to worship Him and to serve Him, and we cannot do it as God intends for us to do it without a Spirit-empowered life, a Spirit-filled life. I wonder where God will have most reception in a heart. if on the way to church you've had two or three fights with the kid and husband and wife's been fighting. Or here's a family that's prayed together before they left home. They're walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Wonder which one of those has the greatest possibility of being blessed and used of God. If we're going to be what we ought to be as a child of God in our worship life, then we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be what we ought to be in our married life, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 22, on down through the remainder of the chapter, he gives us insight into the husband-wife relationship. It is no accident. He preceded those verses by saying, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Now, Mr. Cool, you may think you're so wonderful you don't need the Holy Spirit to be the husband and the daddy you ought to be. I got news for you. You're going to be a failure without entering into that marriage relationship in the Spirit. And Miss America, you may look in the mirror and think you're Miss Wonderful, but you're not going to be the wife and the mother God intends for you to be without the filling of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we have obligations. We're obligated to the command of Christ, and then we're obligated to our worship life and our wedded life and to our work life. In chapter 6, he talks about in verse 5 about servants and masters. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in the workplace as much as the worship place. Be filled with the Spirit because of our obligation to our war life. Verse 10 through 17 talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Talks about warring with the devil. We're not battling flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're battling a force when compared to our power is supernatural in power. Now, I did not say he was supernatural like God's supernatural. But when you compare the power of the devil and his demon forces to your power and my power in the flesh, it's supernatural power that he has compared to our power. And we cannot beat him. We cannot conquer him. We cannot be victorious against him in the flesh. We must walk in the Spirit because, thank God, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We need the power of the Holy Spirit for our war life. And then we need the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit because of the opportunities God puts before us. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to be effective in our service and not just be selfish for glory. Why do you serve? Are you serving to please Him? I teach in our missions class in our Bible college that the supreme motive for missions is our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Oh, our love for lost souls is the supreme motive." No, no, no. Until your love relationship with Him is right, your love relationship this way is not going to be right. By the way, the supreme motive of all Christian service is out of love for Him and to bring Him glory and honor and praise. We need that. He gives us opportunities to serve Him. And the power of the Holy Spirit makes our service effective. Now tonight, for just a few moments, I want us to take a look at the requirements and the results of living a Spirit-filled life. Consider, first of all, the requirements for living a Spirit-filled life. Well, the first thing I want to say is very simple, but so many times we ignore this fact. We must first and foremost realize that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or invisible power. He is a person. How many of you believe that God is real? How many of you believe that Jesus is real? How about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a real person. Now, it's easier for us to imagine Jesus as a real person and even God as a real person. But many times we talk about the Holy Spirit in terms of it. But He's not an it. And He's not the force. Or He's not some, what's this Eastern stuff they're talking about now? Karma. I want to throw up when I hear that. It's not good karma. When you hear that, you're hearing an unsaved person talk. No Christian ought to talk about karma. We ought to talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They're the ones that make bad days into good days. They're the one that gives purpose for our life. He is the one. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives power and direction. He is the comforter when our heart's breaking. He is the one who guides us into all truth. He is the one who lives in us and is with us and will never leave us. He's a real person. He has a name. Now, I don't give names to its. Even on that old television, was it the Addams Family that had that thing called It? It? Sorry, Brother Adams. They didn't even give it a name, It. Holy Spirit's got a name. Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. God uses personal pronouns when referring to the Holy Spirit in Scripture. He and Him, not it. He acts. He wills. He loves. The Bible says He can be grieved or insulted. He may be quenched so that His work is hindered. He's a real person. So if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to get your thinking right in reference to Him. He is not a force. He's not some invisible thing or it. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is the Holy Trinity. Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost. May I say secondly, if we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, there must be a complete and continual surrender to the Holy Spirit to be filled and remain filled. Do not think for a moment the Holy Spirit of God is going to fill anyone that He cannot control. It's not going to happen. Let me tell you what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. It's getting out of the driver's seat of your life, pulling off the sticker that says, God is my co-pilot, and backing up and saying, Lord, You have the pilot seat. I'm over here, and You've got veto power over anything in any area of my life. That's what I'm talking about when allowing Him to be in control of our life. There must be complete and continual surrender to the Holy Ghost in order to be filled and remain filled. You know, a Spirit-filled man is compared to a drunk man in the Bible. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not an expert on drunks. But I do know this, for a drunk man to remain drunk, he's got to continue to drink. If he don't continue to drink, he'll sober up. And some of you, spiritually speaking, have sobered up because you quit going back to him and asking him for his power, his control, yielding to his will. Realize that we're not here on this earth for me or for you. We're here for him. We were created for his glory. We were redeemed so that once again that we could be reconciled to God and serve him and live for him and allow him to live through us in a world that knows him not. If we're going to live that Spirit-filled life, then we must surrender the key to every room of our house, our heart, and our life to him. You listen to what I'm saying. A key to every room of our house, our heart, and our life. Most people will not do this, and neither will they know what it is to live a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled life. Well, Lord, you can have the key to everything but my computer, and I keep my pornography on my computer. What kind of a fool do you think he is? He's not the fool you are. You are. God, you can have the key to every area of my life but my finances. He's not Lord over your finances. Then he's not Lord at all of your life, is he? Where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. If your treasure's in your pocketbook or the bank, that's where your heart is. I hope when I leave here and somebody picks up my checkbooks, the stubs of the checks I've written, I hope they can see quickly where my heart has been. If we're going to live that Spirit-filled life, then we must surrender the key to every room of our house, our heart, and our life. Most people aren't willing to do this. Let me use this illustration. Here's the way most are. Suppose a guest was invited to stay at your house. You invited someone to stay at your house. And being a good host, showing hospitality, you said, "Please make yourself at home. My house is your house." Okay? You went to work, came back, and that guest was going through your personal files. It's going through your personal chest of drawers. You'd ask, "What are you doing? Those are personal. Those are mine." And the guest replied, "You said, make yourself at home. My house is your house." You'd say, "Those are my personal files and my personal documents. They're none of your business. Leave them alone." And the guest would simply reply, "Well, you said to make myself at home. Your house was my house." And you'd say, "Well, I didn't mean you could pry through every room and every drawer. Give me my key back." When we ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill our life, to fill us and control us, we're to give him the keys, because my life is to become his. Every door, every private place, he has the key to. But our problem is there's some areas of our life we do not want his control. And we don't live a partially Spirit-filled life. We either walk in the Spirit or we walk in the flesh. It's not a little of both. You're either filled with the Spirit or you're not filled with the Spirit. And the problem is, there has been a time in most of our lives that we have knelt at an altar and given him the key to every room in our house and life. Then later we say, said, I want my key back. I hope that's not you tonight. I hope you've invited Him to come in and there's nothing hidden, nothing secret. He's in charge of it all. And He has the key to every room. He must be allowed access into every area of our life, not just part of it. If not, then we'll not know what it is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I read the story once about D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, years gone by, being invited to hold a citywide revival. Everyone wanted him in that city to come except one man. And in the planning meeting, the old cantankerous man said, Moody, does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? And a wise old preacher there said, no, sir, Mr. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. Does he have a monopoly in your life? Is he in control and he in charge? Then may I say also, there must be a willful turning from personal sin if we're to know what it is to walk in the Spirit. Well, here in these verses just preceding the command, he said, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Oh, my dear friend, if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have a job to do, and we've got to clean out that house and get rid of willful, known sin in your life. What sin do you struggle with that you haven't given up? What sin do you hold on to? You'd rather have that sin and its pleasure for a season than the power of the Holy Spirit of life, of God in your life. There must be a willful turning from our personal sin. Now that does not mean that we're going to be perfect. We're sinners saved by grace. And we're going to struggle every day. But our problem is we've gotten to the place we're tickled to death we're not perfect. We're proud of it. We don't want to give up our imperfections, our pet projects. And we're walking in the flesh and not in the power of the Holy Spirit of God because of it. Next, there must be a conscious claiming of the Holy Spirit's filling. A conscious claiming. Well, preacher, I just feel like if He wants to fill me, He'll fill me. No, we have some responsibilities. There's some requirements on our part. And one of those requirements is so simple that we overlook it. Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? And then in verse number 13, Jesus says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Conscious asking God to fill you. And try not to ever let a day go by without thanking God for His salvation. Yielding myself to Him and asking Him to take me and use me and guide me. And then, Lord, take control of my life. Fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. And I've got to tell you, some days the workload is so hard and so heavy, I got to make another trip. I have to go back and say, oh God, I need You. I need Your power. I grew up on the farm, and we plowed with horses and mules until I was about to get out of high school, and Daddy bought a tractor. And I learned something about that tractor. You go up to the gas tank and fill that thing up, it wasn't permanent. Now, if all it did was sit there in the barn, I never had to fill it up again. But the more I got on that thing and used it, plowed with it, the more often I had to go back and fill it up. That fuel, that gasoline, provided the source of power to drive that engine. And the Holy Spirit is the source of power to drive our life and make us effective in our Christian service. And we need Him. Then let me share with you quickly some of the results of being filled with the Spirit. And I won't dwell on here. I'll just mention them and move on. I want you to consider the results of being filled with the Spirit. First of all, in our relationship to God, there'll be a spirit of adoration. Look at verse number 9. Verse 18 commands us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. To the Lord. When we come to church, we don't come to church for entertainment. We come for Him. We come to worship Him. When we sing, the special music of the choir is not trying to entertain you or me. When the special music sings, it's not for our entertainment. It's worship, and there's only one person they ought to be singing to, and that's Him. And by the way, He tells us what kind of music to use. He didn't say rock or country or contemporary. He says we're to sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Hey, that wipes out half of the so-called music. God says what I want has a melody to it. We need His power in our In our relationship to God, it produces the spirit of adoration. We adore Him. We worship Him. We love Him. Secondly, we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our life because it helps in our relationship to circumstances. And there will be appreciation. Instead of getting up every day and hating the day and cursing the situations we face, we accept the fact that God's in charge. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things. All things. You know, you've learned to walk with God when you can say, God, I don't know why this is happening, but I'm glad you see around the corner and over the hill and you know why it's happening. And I thank you that you're in charge. Accomplish your purpose in this. We ask you. Now, I want Him to get it done the first time because I don't want to go through that again. It gives us the spirit of appreciation as we face the circumstances of our life. And then in our relationship to others, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, there'll be a spirit of accommodation. Look at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Now, that's different than most people act. It's about us. It's what we want. It's not preferring the other before ourselves. It's not the will of God, it's my will that counts when we're not in the Spirit. But when we're walking in the Spirit, He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Oh my. If we would learn that, we're never going to learn it. It becomes a product of walking in the Spirit. And then in our relationship to God's will, there'll be a spirit of activity taking place. You see, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it'll affect our walk. Verse 15 says we're to walk circumspectly, not as fools. We're living in a dangerous world, an evil world where Satan and his forces are attacking, and we need to walk very carefully, circumspectly, or we're going to be destroyed. We're going to be wrecked. We're going to be ruined. It affects the Holy Spirit of God affects our walk. The Holy Spirit of God will affect our time, how we use it. Verse 16, redeeming the time. Well, I could spend some time there. There's a lot of waste of time today, isn't there? Time that belongs exclusively to God. To be used to worship Him, we come to church and we don't worship. We text, we play, we talk, we joke. Do everything except give our attention to the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. It'll affect our will in regards to His will. The Spirit-filled Christian with all their heart wants to know and do His will, not our will. Spirit-filled Christian won't have any trouble coming to church on Sunday night when the Cowboys are playing. Spirit-filled Christian won't have any problem being in church on the opening day of deer season. I could go on and on and on to get to your little nook too, but there's no need of going there. Have you tried this week to walk in the Holy Spirit's power? Have you ever given Him the key to every room of your life, your home, and your heart? If you have you taken it back? Has there been a difference in your daily walk and the way you use your time? I say again, there's a lot of wasted time that belongs specifically to God. Wasted time. Have you yielded to the Holy Spirit's control and asked Him to take over your life? I'm afraid. Well, I'm not going there. You just hope I'll say something ugly, don't you? Uh-huh, I know you. Have you yielded to the Holy Spirit's control and asked Him to take over your life? Have you done it today? Have you been to church this morning and tonight and you've not even said, Holy Spirit of God, take control of my life. Work your will in my life. Not just for today, but for the rest of my life. Fill me. Just because you were filled yesterday does not mean you're filled with the Spirit today. Yes, you're sealed if you're saved. You're indwelt with if you're saved. But God's not going to fill you with His Spirit so you can live carnally and worldly and selfishly. If you're going to live a Spirit-filled life, it's like the drunk man. If the drunk man's to stay drunk, he's got to continue to go back to the bottle and drink some more, or he'll sober up. And the problem with too many Spirit-filled Christians, we've sobered up spiritually. A Spirit-filled Christian must keep on going back to the Holy Spirit and asking Him for His filling and yielding control over to Him, or we'll return to relying on the direction and the energy of the flesh. Instead of faith Christians, we'll be sight Christians and sense Christians. We must not take back the control of our life. We must continue to yield to Him and His will, depending on His power and His leadership. And I've got to ask you, and I'll be through, where are you in your walk with God as a Christian? Are you filled? Or is it all flesh? Filled or flesh? We know what God tells us to do. We know what God's will is for us. Be not drunk with wine, which is excess. Wherein is excess? But be ye filled with the Spirit. We need Him. And we'll never know what it is to walk in His Spirit until we yield our life to Him and give Him the keys to the rooms of our heart. And mean it. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my life. My house is your house. Holy Spirit of God, please make yourself at home. Father, that's our message tonight.